Hey, it's Bill Simmons. I have some good news for you. The Hottest Take, it's back. Oh, yeah. Monday through Thursday, four times a week, you hear from me, Chris Ryan, Sean Fennessy, Mallory Rubin, Wazdeen Lambre, Van Lathan, Julia Lippman, many other Ringer staffers. You get one take, you got to defend it to the death. Sports takes, pop culture takes, food takes, airplane takes. Oh, yeah, it's coming back. First episode drops August 29th. This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
Oh, hold up. Smell test. Go ahead. Sniff those pits. Now, your bits. Feet, toes, come on. Ugh. Could be fresher, right? It's all good. Old Spice Total Body Deodorant Spray is gentle enough to use all over your body, giving you 24/7 lasting freshness with daily use, from pits to toes and down below. So every smell test gets a... Shop for Old Spice Total Body Deodorant.
The majesty.
Oh my goodness.
It's professional wrestling. Championship.
1,000% Stay mage and enjoy yourself.
Sweet Peter Rosenberg.
Shout out to that guy, Greg.
I like delicious chicken.
It was repug.
It's professional wrestling.
Ladies and gentlemen, the world's number one sports and rec podcast is on. It's called Cheap Heat. This is the go-home adjacent edition of Cheap Heat as we stare WrestleMania 39 right in the face. And I currently am staring right in the face, the one and only physically large, coming to you from Philadelphia, Stat Guy Greg.
Thank you, P. And I got to say, I'm also staring in your face. And these are two handsome faces to be staring at.
If you're being honest, what you're saying is not untrue, you know?
Right.
Two very large heads staring each other right in the face. SGG's head more long. My head more round.
Yeah. But still handsome.
Thank you.
Still handsome.
I think that's very, very true. Now, were you always known as a tall-headed human being?
Yes.
This goes back to childhood. Were you made fun of about this in the streets of Harlem?
Well, I was made fun about this in the streets of, in all streets, if I'm being honest, in the streets of... In the streets of Harlem, in the streets of Belize, in the streets of everywhere. When a roast session breaks out, I knew I needed to have a hat on. Otherwise, someone was going to notice.
Now, it wasn't as noticeable when you had hair, though, right?
No. But when I rock a light Caesar, and I was like lankier and skinnier back in the day, so like you see the pointiness of the top of the head.
You are confirmed.
Way more.
You are Dan Aykroyd and Conehead to Jace 1,000%.
It's a fact.
Why did you shave the head? Was it all going?
It was. I saw a retreat happening. When they're not holding the line, you know what? You gotta call off the war.
Battle. You didn't try to Sam Roberts the situation and hold on for dear life. You said, let's move forward.
Oh no. Yeah, I got out early. Baldies was having a resurgence.
It was the time.
It absolutely was. So I was like, you know what? If it's gonna happen, I had to just. I would love to pull a reverse Jadakiss. Excuse me, not a reverse Jadakiss, but a Jadakiss, and just go from bald to having like a tight hairline, low seat, but those days are behind me.
Yeah, no, good for you. You made the right decision. You made the mature decision. And here we sit. SGG, what, by the way, everyone, Dipperstein will be doing the Friday program, I believe, this week. So today, SGG and I will do our preview for the weekend and talk about the week that was. For quickly, what is going on outside the ring?
The biggest news outside the ring, and I was going to say, believe it or not, but I'm sure we can all believe this, is some CM Punk, AEW, John Moxley.
I haven't heard this
shenanigans.
Yet.
So just briefly, apparently there was a message board post by Dave Meltzer where he mentioned that CM Punk didn't want to lose to John Moxley during one of those world title matches. I believe it was the one on a Dynamite that was right before the pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
And CM Punk immediately comes back out, posts a long message on his IG stories that it didn't make it the full 24 hours. He deleted it. But he basically called Meltzer a liar. He sent the shot at Jericho. He said that he didn't refuse to lose to Moxley. Moxley refused to lose to him. He went to Tony to make sure that was what Tony wanted. And Tony said, sure. And that the only reason he didn't want to participate in the match, which was what Meltzer reported, was because he wasn't medically cleared. And he didn't want to have a match without being medically cleared, even though they both told him, like, it could be a squash. You know, you wouldn't have to get cleared for it to be a squash. But he was completely against it. Ended up doing the match.
This is Mox or Punk who was against it?
Punk was against it because Punk was injured and he wasn't medically cleared. And I believe the line he used in his post.
This was the leg thing, right? Wasn't this when he hurt himself celebrating?
Yeah.
It's that time, right? Okay, so this wasn't like a head injury. This wasn't like a your well-being on the line kind of injury.
Right.
But terms of like, because I could see the argument in a squash situation if it's about someone's head still being like, no, I don't want to do anything.
Right. And then I think he still did the match. Mox won. Mox was the interim champ. He became the champion. And then I believe Mox dropped it back to Punk a couple of weeks later. But he just basically came out and said, I didn't want to do the match because I was injured, not because of any like shenanigans, which then led to Meltzer going on his radio show and apologizing for even commenting on the whole thing.
Wow.
I don't know if that's because he got a call from Tony or somebody else, or if he was that, you know, he felt that bad about putting the Punk thing out there and making Punk comment. But Meltzer apologized. And now John Moxley is on Renee Paquette's podcast.
Okay. Sessions. I know how she's able to book him.
The newest episode. And I haven't listened to it yet, but I've seen some pull quotes, and he's definitely talking about the situation. And I feel like, you know, that is the biggest news coming from outside the ring. And I would love for some AEW news to be, you know, news that the company wants out. They do have that reality show that just dropped, All Access. I haven't tapped in yet, but I'm gonna at least check out the first episode.
That one you're actually slightly curious about?
Yeah, I'm slightly curious about it because, I mean, listen, anytime one of these companies peel back the curtain, even though it's AEW, so they're like see-through curtains, but anytime the company peels back the curtain, you got to at least peek in and see what's going on. Yeah.
I was driving in Los Angeles last week and did see, or I guess that was 2 weeks ago now, the week before last, and did see a big AEW All Access billboard. There you go. That's the word. Billboard.
Yeah.
Right on Sunset. It's just, listen, I'm curious to see how they do it. Like, what is their version of this kind of show? It's just like when you see the people on it. Yeah, like, I understand how people like us would be interested. I'm curious about how many people they could get to be interested outside of us. Like, what is the hook going to be for the show besides that they're wrestlers? Because we have seen that done. And, you know, WWE eventually got it right with Divas. But that had a different appeal in them making it all women, you know, and it was more of a show for women.
Right.
Which then led to Bella's, which was sort of similar. And by the way, we didn't have an episode of this show, though I know Shoemaker covered it. We didn't have an episode here where we discussed the Bellas giving up the Bella moniker.
Right. Yeah. They're going back to their roots. They're Nikki Garcia, Brie Garcia.
What the hell happened here?
And I listened to their podcast where they discussed this a little bit, and they said that they mutually agreed to part ways with WWE, and that in doing so, they felt that it was time for them to go back to the Garcia name. They thought about using their married last names, you know, Danielson and a Russian last name that I know I cannot pronounce.
That probably wouldn't have helped Nikki's branding, if I'm going to be honest.
No. So they decided they were going to go back to Garcia. They changed the name of their show. It was the Bellas Podcast. I believe it's now the Nikki and Brie Show. Total Bellas just ran what you have to think was their final episodes for Nikki's reunion. So if it comes back, it's definitely not going to be under the Total Bellas name. But even then, that was a show that they did, I believe, in conjunction with WWE. So does it even come back, or does E go back to them with something new, sans WWE? I don't know, but...
Here's my question. Do you remember the comment they made around the Raw anniversary show when they said they were disappointed in the way Raw featured the women?
Yes.
For Raw 30, I guess it was.
I think it was Raw 30.
I just thought the way they went in, I was like, oh, that's a very sharp criticism for the Bellas, who are back at least once a year for the Rumble and, you know, are just so tied into WWE. So I wonder, I'm sure at some point we'll find out what happened there, but I wonder what else happened that made them think, let's just, because it's one thing to say, hey, we don't want to be currently thought of as in the WWE. Like, we want to get away from that. Everyone has the right to grow, even if that means giving up a branding or association, a professional association that you're like, why would you give that up? Sometimes you need to let go of something to make room for something else, right? And I dig that. But in this case, it's interesting just because the Bellas, it's so established. And it's so established in our world. And in some ways, it was still getting established in the mainstream world. And they decided to start over again, which is a tough... Listen, they can do it. God bless them. They're talented, smart, hardworking women. But that's tough. That's just a tough thing to do when you've been like kind of aspiring in the mainstream world. It's tough to start over again.
I think it was closer to established in the mainstream world than we might be giving them credit for, though, to be quite honest. I mean...
Well, I just mean as far as the way we think of it is like, to me, it's like, what? It's insane. I so know them as the Bellas. I'm just guessing that in the mainstream world where it's been, they've known of them half the time, if not less, that we have. You know what I mean? They're not household names for everyone yet. You know what I mean? Like, a couple of Dancing with the Stars, Nikki, who does a great job hosting the game show on USA. You know, like, but they're yet to be like...
And
you know,
they did have the second most popular show on E! It was Kardashians and then the Bellas.
Right. And that was big. And that was like what peak of that was 16, 17, something like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's still real. I know it doesn't seem recent, but in terms of building yourself overall to be a brand everyone knows, still relatively recent. But listen, I think it's, like I said, they're dope and they can make it work. I'm just curious about what the behind the scenes of it all was. And I'm sad that I guess that means they won't be popping up at Rumbles for a little while. But then again, it's the WWE. Let's be real. I'm sorry. This story doesn't end with the Bellas completely gone from WWE forever. I just cannot imagine that. I mean,
no.
Unless they're unlike every other person who's come before them who found their fame in WWE, I imagine we'll see them again.
Yeah, listen, if Brett came back, the door is open for everybody. I always say.
Yeah, I think if Brett came back, I'm confident Brie and Nikki could work things out. Yeah, by the way, outside the ring, how dare you disrespect Brett opening a bar in Calgary?
Oh, I completely forgot about the Hitman Bar.
We got to do a Cheap Heat Live at the Hitman Bar, Brett.
We do. I hear Calgary's beautiful.
Yeah, that would be so fire. We should go up there. You know what we should do? We should go up there and host a Cheap Heat Live with Brett and Sean. That would be a good time.
That would be fantastic. And, I think we can do it too. I think we can do it.
Oh, definitely. And we can get some pub for Brett's bar. By the way, maybe I'll talk to Sean this week when you catch me on the NXT Stand and Deliver broadcast. My return to NXT for the first time in like, do you remember I did a kickoff show on NXT like 5 years ago?
Yeah, it was a long time.
I think it was Charlie when she wasn't even doing the main kickoff shows yet. I think it was Charlie.
A long time ago.
Let me tell you, SGG, I have been deep in NXT for the last month.
Are you in now? Have you been seeing what people have been talking about NXT 2.0 being a high quality wrestling show?
I'll say this. I think there's a lot of interesting stuff going on right now and some really, really quality performers there. You know, will I be a consumer every week? I don't know, only because my wrestling, I haven't watched the competition in a month, 2 months. You know, I've jumped in to see an MJF promo here and there, but like I just, between SmackDown and Raw, my wrestling bandwidth is just kind of full.
Right, especially because your life bandwidth is also kind of full. The number one hip hop station in definitely New York, I believe the United States, and I'm going to say the world because New York is worldwide.
You know what? It's a great point when you add it all up like that. Yeah,
you know really what important. I mean? The number one afternoon sports talk radio show.
Yeah, again. Well, once number one. Yes.
But, the once in Future King.
All right, so real quick, before we get into this week in WWE, though, because I have been watching it, in case you don't know what's happening this weekend for Stand and Deliver, which I believe is a 1 p.m. Eastern start time. And a lot of people are talking about this now. You have the 8-person mixed tag match, Chase U versus Schism, which has now become a big deal. Why, SGG?
Oh, I know why.
Go ahead.
Well, because the leader, I'm calling her the leader.
She's not. But go ahead.
We'll say one of the members, but I'm calling her the leader. Because of that storyline of how she was unveiled and all that, I'm calling her the leader of Schism, is Ava Rain.
Yes.
Who NXT fans might know as Ava Rain, but who longtime wrestling fans may have referred to as Pebble, because she's a chip off the old Rock.
That's right.
She's the Rock's daughter, Simone Johnson,
Which all of a sudden adds a little bit of sort of mainstream flavor to this NXT match.
It does, the Stand and Deliver card. Because will we see the Rock? I mean, listen, the Rock's mom is notorious for popping up front row, whether her son is performing or not. So will we see her in the audience? Will we see The Rock in the audience? Will you see The Rock backstage?
You know what? To be honest, I hadn't even thought about that part of it. That is exciting. So you have that 8-person mixed tag, and Chase U is pretty fun too. Then you get the triple threat tag match for the NXT Tag Team Championship. And there are a couple. Yo, man, the tag team division is very interesting. Gallus is a fun tag team who you could easily see on Raw or SmackDown. They're in the match with the Creed Brothers. Also interesting. And then I got to tell you, sort of a cheesy gimmick, but a lot of fun. The D'Angelo family. Tony D'Angelo and Stax Lorenzo. Like that, they're kind of fun. I'm interested to see that match. That's a triple threat tag match for the NXT. And then remember, speaking of tag teams, Stand and Deliver is being hosted by Pretty Deadly.
Another really fun tag team that you can see.
Now tell me, of all those tag teams, the ones that I see definitely popping on the main roster, if you will, is Pretty Deadly.
Yeah. Like, yes.
How do we describe what Pretty Deadly is in 2023? Just dudes who dress sort of in women's clothing?
I don't know if it's women's clothing, but they're very chic. They're definitely blouses. It's blouses. A lot of blouses.
I guess you're right. You can't call it women's clothing because during a couple weeks ago, they were wearing a top that exposed their entire chest and just covered their arms. So I guess you can't quite say women's clothing. That's a great way of putting it, SGG. They're very chic. They push boundaries in terms of what they wear to the ring. And that's why they're Pretty Deadly.
Yeah, they're very appropriately made because, listen, man, these are two handsome dudes. I think we can comfortably say they're also two handsome dudes. But if you get caught up in all that pretty, they will
watch
also whoop your ass.
They're deadly. Yeah, there you go.
Exactly. So
then we have a fatal five-way For the North American title, Wes Lee, the champion, taking on all comers, including Dragon Lee, who a lot of people are very excited to see, JD McDonagh, Ilya Dragunov, and Axiom. That is the five-way for the North American. Then they have a tag match for the NXT Women's Tag Championship, Fallon Henley and Kiana James versus Alba Fire and Isla Dawn. Ladder match for the NXT Women's Championship, Zoe Stark, Gigi Dolan, Tiffany Stratton, Lyra Valkyria, and Indy Hartwell right now. There is certainly speculation online. Will Roxanne Perez come back from her injury and compete in that match? I guess we'll find out tonight if that's happening or on Saturday. Then, of course, you have Braun Breaker defending his title against Carmelo Hayes with Trick Williams. A lot of people think this is going to be Carmelo Hayes' time. Maybe Braun Breaker comes up on Monday night. And the last match, you could see this as the main event, if not the title match. You got Johnny Gargano and Grayson Waller in an unsanctioned match. So a pretty solid stand and deliver card, top to bottom, especially the top of it. That Gargano, Waller, and Breaker, Carmelo, couple of good matches there at the top.
Yeah, it's going to be a fantastic show. And like you said, on the East Coast, you don't have to wake up that early get to it.
And it's pretty cool. It's at Crypto. Like, is it a big, I wonder if they've sold out Crypto.com, the house that Kobe built, for this card.
It's possible. It depends on how many tickets they made available, too, which is what I'm learning as wrestling podcasts continue to talk about selling out and not selling out and how packed is the house, is that they're talking about tickets available. You know, you might still see some tarp.
Well, that's all. And then there's also the fact that you have all these, with all events now, you never know exactly what's what because the aftermarket dealers buy so many tickets.
Right, right.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world. They just disagree on how.
We're going to get across that wasteland, and we're going to do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
So, yeah, everybody pray for me. I think I got this. When I first looked at the lineup, two things were funny about it. Number one, you got a lot of names. And when I say names, I mean names that aren't completely straightforward to read.
Oh, yeah. You know, that women's tag team match. I mean,
Valkyria, you know, obviously I already knew Dragunov, but just looking at the name Ilya on paper doesn't always feel easy. You know, there's just a lot of fun. And then I'm like,
is that
cool.
Two capital I's? Is that two L?
Right. I don't know. I'm looking at it right now and I can't tell. Then you look at, it's seven matches. So you go, that's not that many names, bro.
Multi-man matches.
Five of the seven are multi-man matches with a lot of people in them. So I'm looking forward to that show. It'll be fun. Then I'll make my way over to SoFi. And SGG, we finally got it. I don't know if you heard the Friday show, but on the Something Going On Friday, I got two pieces of mail that I loved. They were saying, hey, dude, you keep talking about, you know, Dominic and Ray and how, why hasn't the match been made yet? We know what's going to happen. It's going to get made at the Hall of Fame induction. And I'm like, yo, you know what? Yes, that's happening. And now what? Let me send an email because, yes, I am going to the Hall of Fame. I have to be there for that. A few hours later, the match gets made on SmackDown. By the way, I loved it. Loved how it ended up happening.
I did too.
I'm good with it being this way. I just thought it was funny that was like, oh, I have to see that. Now, granted, I'm thrilled to be going because I don't know if you heard last week's main episode. Dipperstein's lack of excitement for Andy Kaufman, I found to be sort of staggering.
It's appalling. It's appalling, but maybe it's generational. Maybe, like, he talks about, you know, he was born in either the late 80s or early 90s. I haven't pinned it down exactly yet. Well,
he's 35, right? So he's 87, I think. Is that math right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Birthday's in June. So he's 87.
So late 80s. So
when are you born? What year are you?
85.
Okay.
85. So, I mean, this is just a case of him not doing his history then.
Because, yeah, I'm way too young for Andy Kaufman, too.
This is just a case of him not doing the Googles.
I love every time Kaufman wrestling footage is on the screen, I'm watching it. I'm always like, what was he? This is so crazy. And then, I don't know if you watched, you know what's a fantastic A&E biography is that Jerry Lawler that dropped.
They go into the Kaufman stuff, right?
Oh,
they have to.
Super, super deep. Super deep into it. And Lawler's life in general is very interesting. You know, he's sort of a weird guy interest-wise, like his obsession with comic books and music. And, you know, and then you have people like Ric Flair saying, like, this guy beat everyone. Like, he beat all of the big names. Flair, Hogan, Andre, like, you name them, they got beat down there somewhere by Jerry Lawler.
It had to happen.
And you remember, and then you get into the Kaufman thing. I always remember that scene in the movie when they revealed that they were friends. It always, like, it was one of, even though it was 1999, I think I said this last week, even though it was 99, it kind of really blew my mind on just how much of a work wrestling is. I was like, wow, even that was a work? I was sure whenever I saw that, that was the real thing.
Yeah, even when you watch the tape, it's like the commitment. Like, we talk about celebrities and wrestling now, and it's sort of like looked down upon. But when you think about back in the day when people came into this world, they really came 10 toes down into the world of professional wrestling and committed to it because, like, he ate it.
Well, that's the thing. With all due respect to our beloved half-in superstars of today, who are certainly more athletically gifted than Andy Kaufman, what they're not is a tenth as committed. Like, his thing was, people are going to hate me. I'm going to keep wrestling women.
Yes, and that's by what the I was going to say. It was deeper than the Jerry Lawler thing.
And those were a shoot. The wrestling women was a shoot. He was like, I'm going to have them come in. And then he had to literally wrestle them to a pin to keep his streak alive. And then he eventually gets the opportunity. And I saw in the biography, and I'll just leave it here so you guys all watch it. And again, thanks to our listeners who explained to me that if you download the A&E app, you can watch a bunch of these for free. Some of them have been pulled away and now are behind their paywall. But as of a couple days ago, Jerry Lawler was still free. Not shockingly, Bill Apter, the great Bill Apter, played a huge part in this happening because he met Kaufman backstage at MSG. And they actually showed in the doc Andy Kaufman being interviewed by Vince. And Vince being like, I heard you want to be a professional wrestler. And he is like, I'd like to get into the wrestling business, blah, blah, blah. And he's talking about it. And Bill Apter's like, I saw him backstage that day or right around then. And he saw Vince Sr. I apologize. He saw Vince Sr. And Apter says, hey, Mr. McMahon, or hey, Vince, Andy Kaufman wants to be a wrestler. You should do something with him. And he was like, he seems like a good guy. I love that he loves our business, but like, that's not something we're doing. And then he went to Andy and said, Andy, you should call. Do you know my friend Jerry Lawler? And Bill Apter was the go-between that led to it all happening.
Mage.
Go watch it. It's Mage. I'm psyched to be at the Hall of Fame because of that. Great Muda, too. How is Dip not amped just for Great Muda? I mean,
I don't understand.
The man's a wild man. But I loved what they did with Dominic. I had gotten to the point where I was like, man, if another week ends with Ray just dropping to the ground and rolling out of the ring again, I'm going to lose my mind.
And we almost got there, too.
We almost did just get that because it happened. It did happen.
He was deep in the aisle.
Yeah, he was deep up the aisle. It was over. And then Dominic starts talking to Ray's, so the rest of his family, talking trash to his mother, to his sister. And when he tells his mom to shut up.
It was so intense.
It was so. And you know what's even worse? The worst part that would really get your ass whooped by your dad, the way he snatched that mic out of your hand.
Yep.
He snatched that mic so crazy. And then Ray came down and the legitimate pop when Ray hit him showed me they had done this the right way. It was all done right. And they still did it at least a week in time. So we get the little video graphics of them ready to go at WrestleMania. And I'll tell you right now, SGG, before we even start going over the card, that's my number one for the weekend. That's what I'm most excited about.
Show stealer potential for sure. But even that story, like we talk about all the incredible stories some of these matches have going into WrestleMania year after year. And this is the one, right? Because like you said, they played it perfectly the whole way. From Ray always telling you and telling anyone publicly and privately, the Dominic match is not going down. You know what I mean? And even as they started this storyline where Dom kept antagonizing him and we knew it was going to go down, it felt like some part of it that Ray would just pull away. But now that we're here, like they hit all the right notes,
even
at
in
all the right times.
Even in my interview with Dom.
Yeah.
He was like, I want to, but my dad's too scared. Which to me left the door open.
And a fantastic interview still. If people haven't listened to that.
It is one of my favorites in recent times. It's a good one. Go back and listen to that episode or pull it up on YouTube. Dom was fantastic. I did not realize. I watched Raw last night. I think I saw everything. When you look at the Wikipedia page here, night one is almost completely filled out.
I didn't know that they were saying which matches were on which nights. I know that some matches, they definitely said what night
so
it was going to be
on. It currently says for night one, Theory Cena, Rollins Logan, which we know. He made that very clear.
And Theory Cena, they said, was going to open up WrestleMania. So he's going to be on night one, first match.
So then Cena's like, I have an appointment that night. I got to get to dinner.
I got a set visit on Sunday.
I got to be up early. Six woman tag is that night. The Trish, Lita, Becky, Damage Control. They now have Brock and Omos as night one. They have Bianca Asuka as night one and Charlotte Rhea as night one. Now, night two, we know we have Roman and Cody. But that all but guarantees we're going to have the Usos the same night as Roman and Cody because they have already six on night one. And right now there's a total of 13 matches.
There's six matches left.
After Roman and Cody. So, and by the way, is there any room for one more match to get made that we haven't thought of or it's over?
Because Bobby Lashley, what is Bob Lash doing? Is that match still listed?
Oh, Bray Bob. Bray Bob never got made.
So
is something going to happen on SmackDown where we end up getting that too?
I don't know, but there's a Bobby Lashley question that needs to be answered.
How would he end up off the card altogether?
He is in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal on SmackDown. So maybe something happens in that Battle Royal that gets him on the card.
Or maybe he just wins it.
Yeah.
But or what if he wins the Battle Royal and shows up and we get a reunited, wait for it, Hurt Business to take out Brock Lesnar finally. That could be something.
That could be something, and I wouldn't mind that. I want to see Omos get that F5 first.
Oh, no, he has to.
Bobby Lashley got to come out after that F5.
Yeah, I really hope that is where they go here. If Brock gets cheated and loses to Omos, it does nothing to hurt him. If Omos loses yet another match with a lot of eyeballs on it, bruh, how many pay-per-views can someone start their career with losses? I just don't know how you can continue that if you're hoping to do that.
Yeah, I think he needs to defeat Brock Lesnar.
That would be really his thing, that he's the Beast Slayer. You know, like that could really be, listen, Drew McIntyre and Brock, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, and even Seth and Brock too, that was even longer.
So like there's still a limited amount of really big moments where Brock lost. So I think you have Omos get cheated. Whether it's just MVP or whether they reunite the Hurt Business, I think Omos has to get away here if you want to keep going with this and make him something, which I think they should. So anyways, we'll see. But I would imagine, SGG, that either the night one card is done or they add one to it, you know, and
it should be the Usos. The Usos and KO.
Unless for some reason they want them on the same night because of a story situation. I don't know. So that leaves us for night. So we said Roman and Cody we know is night two. The other matches that are still out there that we don't know the night, but I'm guessing most will be on night two, is Gunther versus Sheamus versus Drew McIntyre. Another match you could easily... in Vegas, that might be the most likely to steal the show kind of match.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That match is going to be a hammer. Like, I'm sorry, that's going to be one that at first you're going to be like, oh, I don't really care about this match. And then when it starts, by the end of it, the play is going to be on its feet. You know that.
That happens every time. With each of them, by the way.
Yeah,
Sheamus and Drew and Gunther separately have always been able to have that magic with their matches where
it you weren't starts, thinking about it, and then you're like, whoa. Sheamus had it last year. Was it 2 years ago when Sheamus had that sick match? 2 years ago, right?
In Tampa? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was.
Who was it against again?
Let me pull up the card.
I'm going to feel so dumb when we know. But it was one of those ones where he just creeps up on you. Now, there's Gunther.
Sheamus and Riddle.
Sheamus and Riddle. So there's Gunther, Sheamus, McIntyre, Edge and Finn, Hell in a Cell.
Demon Finn.
The Demon Finn. That is very important. Liv and Raquel versus Natty and Shotzi versus Ronda and Shayna versus Chelsea and Sonya now, who got in last night. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. Can you believe that we're at a time? And I'm not saying that she'll never bounce back, but can you believe that we're in a time when Ronda Rousey's appearance in WWE at WrestleMania is in a four-team tag match?
No.
I'm sorry. And it's not for the tag titles. It's just the show. It's just a showcase.
So is it even for a future title opportunity? I don't know.
Not as currently listed.
No, I cannot believe that Ronda Rousey, who was touted just a few years ago at WrestleMania and I believe New Orleans when she debuted as one of the biggest names outside of WWE that they could get, is now in, unfortunately, what's called, or what's known by the fans as the get them on the card match. Just like,
I've never heard that name, but I certainly understand it.
Just get them on the card and give them a little WrestleMania bonus that they can be happy with. Is that to see Ronda Rousey have that spot? I mean, it does show her commitment to the locker room, that she, you know, shows up week to week and doesn't want to just be a celebrity that she wants to be like.
That is something worth mentioning. Like this run, or whatever you'd want to call it, lack of, feels like maybe her showing to everyone, like, hey, I'm down to just be one of the people who shows up and works.
Yeah.
Because she's been having matches. They've been having tag matches, and they're not highly touted, and they're not a big deal. Like, they're just on the show. Like, the last, at Elimination Chamber, I think I saw her recently, and she was just, you know, didn't have anything major going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's not because she's not still Ronda Rousey. You know what I mean? They could flip that switch at any time. But I guess that, you know, one way to look at it is her commitment to the locker room and to not being above the other women that she has to work with.
So SGG, was there anything big that stood out to you last night on Raw or from SmackDown besides the Dom Ray thing? Or you think it's just worth us getting into some predictions here?
I think it's just worth us getting some perspective, because I think the interesting things from the shows are going to be, we're going to have to touch on them as we go through some of these matches.
All right, cool. And I got 10 minutes. And then again, of course, there'll be another episode this week with some combination of us. I don't know if I have a guest opportunity when I'm out there. I'm not sure yet. This whole week is so hectic. Oh, and I do want to say one thing, the most important thing. Friday, Button Mash, the greatest pop-up of all time. We're wrestling for sale. And you know what? Let me not even do this wrong. Let me shout out everyone who's going to be on there. But most importantly, Heat and Greet. SUG, if this works for you, because I'm now going to the Hall of Fame, I think our Heat and Greet time that we will be there, assuming it works for you, and I'm sure it'll work for Dip, is going to be 3:30 to 5. Is that okay for you?
Yeah, I can do that. I should be
able to. So right after I get off the air at the K Show at 3:30, if you want to meet the Debbie Downer 35 at 35 Dipperstein, the the Conehead of the Cheap Heat
Come
podcast.
On, not you.
Sorry, not me too. No.
Now these Upper West Side streets are officially roasted.
If you want to get the physically pseudo vacationing on this trip, Stack Eye Greg.
Right.
And myself, we will be at Button Mash, 1391 Sunset Boulevard, and we're going to be on from 3:30 to 5. We'll be there hanging out. Shout out to Broken Skull Beer, Steve Austin's beer. They're a sponsor on here.
Oh, hell yeah.
Of course, Wrestling for Sale, who has an incredible, an insane merch situation going on. Then we have In-Ring Art's going to be there. Stash Pages. Matt Botvin, who does a great job. So a lot of awesome wrestling people with different things for sale. I mean, Ted's collection that he's selling, every time I think it's the craziest one. Nah. Nah, this is the one. If you've ever thought, like, you know what, one day I'm going to say screw it and just spend $1,000 on a shirt or $500 on a shirt or $250 on a shirt, this is the one to come to. It's absolutely insane. 3:30, we'll be there. We look forward to seeing you, taking some pictures, maybe having a sip of a delicious Broken Skull beverage. As for right now, though, SGG, we get back into the card, and let's just try to run through it. We'll start with what we know. Night one, Theory, Cena. Who do you like?
I like Theory. I don't think it makes sense for John Cena to come back and win the United States Championship in the opener to WrestleMania, even though that's what he did almost 20 years ago. Like, he opened WrestleMania and won the United States Championship. But it's not going to be a full circle moment for him. It's going to be Austin Theory holding on to the championship.
So you're right. That is the only thing that seems to make sense. But for some reason, especially because it's starting the weekend, I'm going to go John Cena. I don't think it's his last WrestleMania. I think there's at least one more in the can for this man. And I for whatever reason, I'm going to go Cena, which takes us to Seth and Logan, singles match.
You know, Seth needs a win. I can't believe I'm saying this, but Seth needs a win. I think he's had exactly one win on pay-per-view in the past year. This is an easy one to give him. But then again, do they make Logan Paul even more hated? Give it to him? I don't know. But Seth definitely needs a win. No matter, the fans love him. The losses haven't hurt his standing at all. But I mean, it's WrestleMania.
Is he potentially about to go up even higher on the roster? That's the thing that I think. I mean, a lot of speculation that Roman will go away for a while. You know, I've certainly done my share of speculating that Cody's going to turn at some point here. Do you need Seth, you know, to get a win at WrestleMania and be that dude? I don't know how much wins and losses matter for Logan Paul and the kind of attraction that he is. So I tend to lean Seth.
Yeah. You bring up a good point, because listen, regardless of how that main event shakes out, and we're going to get there with our prediction, they're going to need a challenger. And Seth Rollins is a ready-made challenger, no matter who walks out as the Undisputed Universal Champion.
All right, let's get through these ones quick. Trish, Lita, Becky versus Damage Control. I'm going with the Hall of Famers and Becky.
I'm going Damage Control. They're a unit.
Wow.
They are the tight team. Yeah, there's like a lot of fan love between Trish and Lita and Becky and all that mutual respect, but that doesn't beat being a well-oiled unit.
Wow, that's actually a good take, even though I didn't see it that way. That is good. Brock and Omos, I said it before, I think they find a way to give Omos a win here, crazy as it may be, after the F5.
Yeah, I think so too. I think they have to. They're gonna give Brock what he wants. They're gonna make those video packages look good with him. Add another feat of strength to his resume. He's gonna probably hit a German suplex or two. He's definitely gonna hit an F5, and then he's gonna stare up at the lights because it's Omos time.
All right, Bianca and Asuka.
This is a tough one to predict.
That sigh tells me you think it's going to be Asuka. Let's just keep it.
No, this is a tough one to predict. I love them both. And Asuka is someone who at any time can beat anybody. She dominated NXT, completely dominated it. She's beat everybody on the main roster. But Bianca's also been on a tear. She's Jane Cena, and it's very hard to bet against that. Bianca, that's my pick.
All right, I'm going Asuka. Rhea and Charlotte. I'm going Rhea.
Yeah, it's Rhea's time. It's Rhea's time.
And by the way, Sam said something brilliant on the show last week, that we could be sitting on the precipice of this huge change where the bloodline loses everything and Judgment Day ends up coming out of WrestleMania as the faction that's now on top. Rhea as champion. Rhea as champion. Finn beats Edge. Just an up and down. Dom beats Rey, and they show up Monday like, yo, this is ours now. I think that's a fascinating idea by Sam. I'll go with Rhea in that regard. Okay, now even quicker. Gunther, Sheamus, Drew.
Sheamus.
Gunther. Edge versus the Demon. Demon. The women's WrestleMania showcase match. I will go Ronda and Shayna.
I will as well.
Men's WrestleMania showcase match. I will go Street Profits.
I will as well.
By the way, I just want to say right now, I don't know if we have time for Black Power rankings, but you know it'd be Montez for him hitting that splash where he turned to midair.
What?
My God.
Yeah, he locked it up. He locked it up.
And is that his new? I wonder if that's going to be his new all the time splash. Should be.
Yeah.
I never seen it look like that in my life.
Me either. He locked it up for the month of April with that splash.
The Usos versus KO and Sammy. I'm sorry, SGG. I think KO and Sammy walk with the titles.
I don't think the bloodline walks out of it with all of their titles. It's just about who do I think drops. And I'm gonna go with KO and Sammy.
Okay. I'm gonna go with Dominic over Ray.
Yeah, Dominic over Ray for sure. Maybe Ray even doesn't get to walk out with his mask still intact.
Yeah, very possible. And then we go to Roman and Cody.
Oh yeah.
I'm going chalk here. I'm going Cody Rhodes. I know you're gonna go the other way. You said one of the bloodline matches you think goes bloodline. I think they lose it all that night. And we see what happens after that. I think the Cody story has been built up. I think, man, last week Cody's promo was so fantastic. He really gave me the like, okay, this is his time moment. But give me quickly, what do you think?
I'm going to go Roman Reigns. Now, Roman, the first championship he ever held in the main roster was a tag team championship with Seth Rollins. He lost it by being pinned by Cody. That's how the Shield lost their tag team titles. So history could repeat itself again. Cody could come back and take some titles off of Roman. But also, I was listening to a Cody interview he did with DJ Ace over at the BBC. And Cody said, sometimes the better story is beaten by the better competitor. Now, they were talking about it in the context of Roman beating Drew in Cardiff while talking about the then upcoming Roman versus Sammy in Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
And if Roman's going to be the better competitor every time, then that means it has to be every time. Cody has a great story, but if Roman's the better competitor, then Cody said it himself. It just is what it is. So I'm going Roman.
And there you have it, folks. RosenbergBeats@gmail.com. Come see us at Button Mash. Another episode coming up this week. We'll get into more of this. Keep an eye on all of our social medias at Stat Guy Greg, at The Dipperstein, at Rosenberg Radio on Instagram. I'm going to focus on Instagram considering I'm thinking my days on Twitter are getting to be numbered here.
I think everybody's days on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm seriously considering pulling the plug once the verification situation happens on account of what it's going to mean for reliable news on that platform. So I may just go strictly IG. And just it feels like a great excuse to just lower my imprint on social media, which I hate in the first place. So SGG, I'll see you in Los Angeles, and do me a favor and stay made.
Take it easy, man.
Take it easy.
In the corner to my left,
the majesty.
Sweet, sweet Peter Rosenberg.
And then I went to makeup and like sat in front of the mirror a little bit and got myself together.
Also, ladies and gentlemen, at this time, I would like to introduce...
Shout out to that guy, Greg.
Bret Hart is the greatest professional wrestler in the history of the art form.
Major.